Can you talk about what you mean by Roanoke having a gang problem? How did the city get to this point?
It's been an issue that I can tell as far as back that I can see, back to 2005, 2006. A lot of people were talking about it then, were saying that there was problems with gangs. A lot of areas surrounding us, Bedford, Lynchburg, a lot of other places all saw the same activity. The government actually made some funding for cities to use, localities to use to combat this issue. But from what I can see, Roanoke is not one of them. I don't see that we have any gang prevention units, any gang units in Roanoke. What I do know is that we have one of the murders last year that I know of, a young guy, 17 years old. His name was Nicholas. I actually knew him, had a chance to speak with him on numerous occasions before he was murdered. I do know that he was involved in gangs. I know he wanted to get out of a gang. And all of the time we talking to him leading up into him trying to get out of the gang, he was murdered. His family have been working with police tirelessly about the issue, trying to bring some justice to their situation. But there is gang activity in Roanoke. I don't want to say that it's a gang problem, but Lynchburg has identified 43 gangs operating within that city. Bedford has identified 15 gangs operating in that city with over 500 members. By us being so close to these places, and all these places have gang units, gang prevention things going on, we don't hear. So, I mean, it's only common sense for the gangs to move into areas where they're going to be policeless.
We're talking to Grover Price, co-founder of the Hope Center and independent candidate for Roanoke City Council. So before Nicholas Lee, who was 17 when he was shot, you're saying that he did reach out to you. Can you comment on what those conversations were like? Was it a plea for help?
It definitely was a plea for help. I mean, he wanted to change his life. He wanted to do better. He actually successfully made it out of one gang, and in that time he just couldn't find effort, couldn't get nothing going, and he gravitated back into the gang life again. That was the only thing that he really knew, and he ended himself back up in the gang, and this time he wasn't successful trying to get out.
And you said that you've observed gang activity in the area since 2005, 2006. Do you think it's gotten worse, and how are you measuring it?
Well, basically, we let it sit here for so long. We knew it gangs existed all the way back to 2006. A lot of local officials wanted to say that it was just neighborhood gangs or whatever. Whether it was a neighborhood gang or whether it was a nationally affiliated gang, that really doesn't matter. A gang is a gang. And what's happening is that these local gangs now have linked up with these national gangs. In the past week, I've sat down with two leaders of gangs in Roanoke with a plea to them to ask their guys to put down the guns, to try to get those guys to do some positive things. They look up to you guys. You're their leaders, and they'll do whatever you ask them to do, however you can get them to put down the guns and start doing some positive things in the community. So I've actually had meetings with two members of gangs in Roanoke, two leaders of gangs in Roanoke. And I don't mean VH1 or Lansdowne gangs. I mean nationally affiliated gangs, Crips, Blood, Rolling 60s, actual real gangs. So, I can speak to this from what I know. I had a parent bring me a child. It was about 4 months ago. He was 11 years old. And the reason why she was coming to me was because she found a loaded 45 handgun under his mattress. And upon talking to this kid, the gun was given to him by his next door neighbor, who was 14, who was already in the game, trying to recruit him to be in the game. So I know these things exist. I've seen them face to face with my own eyes. I spoke with the chief of police the other day about this issue kind of briefly while we were attending another event, a speed friendly event at Highland Park. We actually ended up being in front of each other doing a speed friendly thing. We actually got a chance to speak about it shortly, and he asked me the same thing, like, why can these guys, can we just get them to put down the guns? He didn't come to me and say they don't exist. The unemployment rate is actually down, so more people are working. I mean, things are going on the up and up in Roanoke, but the crime continues to get worse. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, like, the link to these things.
We're talking to Grover Price, who's running as an independent candidate for Roanoke City Council. He founded the Hope Center. We're talking about gang activity in the Roanoke region. You said in a Facebook post that people aren't acknowledging the gang activity. Do you mean city council? I was going to ask about law enforcement. You said that you spoke with Chief Tim Jones. Are you talking about people in general? Can you break that down for me?
What I mean by that is, out of the 16 murders last year, I didn't see one report of gang activity, one report that this could be a possibility. I've never heard one statement from anybody, city council, police department, anyone. I did talk to someone with the FBI, who acknowledged that it's a gang issue around here. But local officials, local law enforcement, to my knowledge, I haven't heard one statement, read one statement. I haven't seen us try to do any kind of prevention. What we should have been doing back back in 2006 when we first learned of these gangs, we should have used the money from the federal government. Like, it actually costing us money. It could have created some new opportunities for different people, and it also could have. We could have been working on gang prevention, trying to keep these kids, that keep them, give them something to do, find them jobs, and just keep them away from these things. We know that the gangs are recruiting our elementary age kids. Like I've told you, I've seen 11-year-old with a loaded handgun. So I see it every day on 11th Street. I see groups of kids, 14 to 16 years old, out walking down the street with their gang colors on, with large weapons, rifles, AR-15s, just walking down the street shooting. I've seen so many different things happen over the past couple of years, and I've heard no one, no city official or local law enforcement speak about gang activity. I couldn't even find an article about gangs in Roanoke. The only thing I found was Jeff Artis wrote something back in 2006 that was published in the Times. I mean, it's 2018.
In your conversation with the Roanoke police chief, you said that he did acknowledge it. Did he say why they're hesitant to really label these murders as gang affiliated?
We didn't really go into that conversation. I didn't want to scare him off. I just wanted him to understand what I knew and what I was willing to work with him on to try to tackle the problem. So the reason why I think it doesn't come out, it's not a good look for your city as far as marketing the city. Like, this is what our city is trying to do. We're trying to market our city. We're trying to bring in outside businesses. We're trying to bring in young people from college who graduated to come back here and start some businesses. To actually say that we have gangs here in Roanoke would not be a good recruiting tool. And I basically believe that's why it's not being spoken about.
Back to your Facebook post, which I think sparked some very important dialogue. I saw that Martin Jeffrey, an activist and former mayoral candidate, commented, and I think he made an interesting point. He said, if you throw out phrases like gang activity, it could trigger strong arm tactics from police and possibly further target a community, one that might say already has an uneasy relationship with law enforcement. The larger issue here is poverty. Does he have a point?
I mean, it goes both ways. At the end of the day, we can't just keep on sitting around watching our kids become gang members and dial in the street. And he is right. These things are stemmed by poverty. The reason why these kids are going to gangs or going to these things is because of poverty, because of the lack of. But these things already exist. Poverty already exists. We've been fighting poverty for 200 years. And at the end of the day, you still have to be proactive. We could have been proactive in 2006. Like I say, I'm about gang prevention. I'm not about going out here and targeting the gangs, trying to tackle them all down, trying to put them all in jail. What I learned, like I said, I spoke to two leaders of gangs, and this is what they explained to me. You read the Facebook post, so I'm pretty sure you saw one guy on the post saying that the gangs were originally meant to build a community, not to tear the community down. So I actually met with this guy and met with another leader of a gang. And basically what they're saying was the gangs, these guys need guidance. They don't have anything at home. They're looking for somebody to teach them, to lead them. And what we need to do is we need to get the leaders to lead these guys in the right direction and stop leading them down the direction of violence.
Are you putting yourself at risk by talking about this publicly?
I really am putting myself at a risk by speaking about this. And I think that's why a lot of people don't want to actually speak about it, don't want to deal with it, don't want to address it. But I just can't keep sitting here knowing what I know. I know I've spoken with someone who literally told me they are... I'd be careful what to say. But I literally spoke with someone who knows about Nicholas' murder and told me that they have told all his information to the FBI. And he was told by the FBI that they don't care about that. Get out here and go bring them some more drugs. And this guy's basically an informant for the federal government. And they're worried about drugs. They're worried about other things. They're not worried about our young kids out here losing their life. Everything.
People that are not living in communities that are impacted by gangs, people who don't see it, people who don't realize it's a problem, what can they do to be proactive or help out with this cause of prevention?
And the biggest thing I think they can do is just reach out to these kids in different communities. I urge everyone from different communities to come over to different parts of town where they normally don't find themselves at. Just tell a kid hello. Just to ask them how they're doing. It's just simple things that you can do to kind of lift or boost a kid's morale, to boost their spirit, to try to keep them away from doing certain things, something negative, just something positive. But I just think that we need to start getting proactive about the situation and as far as violence, period, whether it's coming from gangs or not. We need to get proactive about this situation. We need to start using education as a tool, and we need to reach out to our youth and just show them what they have to live for, give them a reason to want to stop the violence.